The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Welcome to the Business Bunker Show here on 100.2 FM, 95.1 FM, Freeview 277 and online at bizradio.co.uk. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and the stunkingly gorgeous Jill Serkin.
Hello, Paul Andrews.
Hello, shut up.
Yeah, how are you?
I'm all right.
Oh,
Curmudgeonly. Don't start.
Do you know what? For the last year, because we're coming up to talking about my bush again, of course. It is coming up to the end of the nesting season, where Canterbury Council decide to cut down year-round roosts of starlings.
Your blackthorn
bush. Well, yes, it's good that you say blackthorn, because I've been calling it buckthorn. And I realise I've made a terrible mistake, because it is a blackthorn bush.
It is.
How did you know?
I've known that for ages, but I can't get a word in edgewise, can I?
Wow.
Every week you turn about a buckthorn bush, and I go, it's a blackthorn, and it's a buckthorn, blackthorn.
Why didn't you ever correct me? Because you can't get a word in?
Because I can't get a word in edgewise, because you don't listen to anything I say.
Anyway, I do try to, you know, listen to some of what you say. But I've just written to Keith Bothwell, who I voted in, the Green Party. I had a great big Green Party just for this one green triangle where I live, my bush. So, because last year they cut it down, and as I said, it's an all-year-round roost, and Kaneko came following their orders. He said, we didn't want to do it. He said, because we saw all the birds in there and we could hear all the birds.
Right.
But I phoned my boss, and he said, is it on your chart? Yes. Cut it down.
Okay.
So they mowed it down, as you know, and all the birds were flying out squawking.
Yeah. You've told us that before, so...
I know, but we've got new listeners. We've got new guests in the studio.
We don't have to hear it every
week. In the studio.
Anyway, shut up. What I'm trying to get at is you started off this story by saying it's that time of year. Yeah. And you haven't told me what's happening this time of year. You told me what happened last year.
Well, no. It's the time of year where they're going to do it again. There's only one bush remaining.
Right. And they're going to come and cut it down.
They are. Well, no, we're fighting. But I've just had to prompt Keith Bothwell, if he's listening. I've sent him an email last Thursday. No answer. Mm. What's happening? Has he managed to stop it? Mm. There's a nightingale in this bush. There's foxes. There's weasels. There's all sorts. Mm. And they are losing their habitat. But what the council, Canterbury Council, you know where I live, Long Rock, an area of outstanding beauty, are trying to stop us walking our dogs on Long Rock, which we've done for, not personally, 100 years, but it's been there for hundreds and hundreds of years, because they think we're killing the birds. The dogs are killing the birds.
That's their job.
They put the sewage in the sea, you see, and they cut down blackthorn bushes.
Yeah.
This is my point.
Stop interfering in our jobs. It's our job to kill the wildlife.
Yeah, so what they want to do on Long Rock, in an area of outstanding beauty, there's a 36-page plan, and they counted 365 dog walkers. Mm. They haven't said when it was. They didn't say if it was a month, a year. Mm. So I've been documenting. I walk there twice a day with my lovely Darcy Greyhound, who's four. Mm. Rescue, of course. And I walk there. So I've been videoing. Yesterday, two dogs. Day before, one dog. You know, where are they getting this number from? So they want to build ditches on this area of outstanding beauty, build fences to stop us walking down a path that we've walked down for hundreds of years, because for some reason all the birds are nesting on this path, which is rubbish, because they're feeding on the coast and they're living in the buckthorn bushes or wherever they live. They're not on a path. So we're having a huge battle, and they cite EU regulations to protect wildlife. We're not in the EU anymore.
What's that got to do with the price of bread?
Well, that's what I'm saying. They're saying because of EU regulations in this 36-page. I'll send you the document. You can read it tonight in your pyjamas. No, when you get in your pyjamas tonight, tuck up, read it, because it's a laugh.
Right.
It's an absolute laugh. And where are they getting the money from when they're putting up our council tax? Is it called poll tax anymore?
No, it's
council tax.
No, it's your council tax. And Canterbury Council are £157 million in debt currently.
But they've got the money to build ditches to stop my greyhound trotting along.
Apparently.
Yeah. And they're also measuring the length of my lead. This is their new thing.
The length of your knees?
My lead.
Oh, your lead.
No, my dog lead. Not my personal lead, my Darcy Greyhound lead. No longer than 2 metres. Meanwhile, there are...
Hold on.
Yeah. There's regulations on the amount of long lead on this wild area.
Right, okay.
It gets my goat, Paul Andrews.
You got a goat as well.
It gets my goat.
Are you allowed to walk the goat?
I have some good news, though.
Yeah, you can.
Do you remember Julia Farley was on with the Greyhound Festival that she puts on? She's got five greyhounds that she rescues.
Yeah.
All with very sad tails. Not their tail. T-A-L-E. They've got lovely tails. So all with very sad tails. And, you know, she looks after them. They can't be looked after by anybody else because they've got difficulties and they've been ill-treated and things. So Julia was looking for land to put on her Grey Fest, which is a festival of all sighthounds, so Salukis, any sighthound, and you can go if you've got a normal dog. And she couldn't find any land because, you know, there's lots of people camping there and they go for a whole weekend. So Julia is hooked up with Mount Ephraim in Faversham.
All right, okay.
So it's a really good location, and she's got, I'm trying to look, I'll tell you the dates in a minute. It's in June, 2 days. But she's got accommodation if people want to stay for the, you know, little holiday for 2 days. And loads of stuff going on. You get food stalls and all sorts of doggy
things. Would they
be
kennels?
No, proper rooms. Dog friendly, I'm sure. So I'm just looking. I'll tell you in a minute, but it's June, 2 days. So that's really good news, because she couldn't find anywhere, could she, Paul Andrews?
No, that's true.
And she came on here and asked.
And she found somewhere.
She has.
Excellent.
In June, 2 days. So Grey Fest, they are on, it's Julia Farley and Steve Hales, I believe her husband is called.
Right.
And they're on Facebook, Hayes, thank you. And they're on Facebook, Grey Fest, have a look if you have a little, here we are, 3rd and 4th of August, not June at all. I always get those
she's
months.
So good.
I always get those months mixed up, don't you?
June, yeah, well, you know.
Same thing, isn't it?
Yeah, she goes on holiday from June to September, so they all merge into one for
anyway,
her.
Anyway, 3rd and 4th of August, I'll put that on my Twitter.
The Parallel Group have tweeted, have a good show, Paul. Thank you. That's very kind. Intune PR. Expecting a very clean show today.
Very good.
If we're going to get all these puns, I'm not going to read them out. Yeah.
I expect they'll be on in a jiffy.
Oh no!
Later on.
Oh no!
They'll do a clean sweep, won't they? Of the show.
Yeah.
I guess they've polished up their act.
Yeah, dust off your old jokes, eh?
Endless jokes.
Yeah. Tracy Ferguson, looking forward to listening in live today. You haven't listened for a while. So, Tracy, thank you so much. We're glad to have you back.
I was missing her. It was so funny looking at our tweets, because we were carbon copies. I didn't see your tweet, and you put, miss you, Tracy, and then I put, miss you, Tracy. So we're like twins, aren't we?
There you go.
She says, miss you all too. Always love this opening, B Bunker Banter.
Yeah.
That's what they call it, you see, B Bunker Banter.
I Trust Assurance have asked for a Business Bunker shout out. I Trust Assurance is an app for whistleblowers and more. Have a real look at it. It's a very clever app. It's a very clever communication app. I Trust Assurance is a Twitter handle.
And a warm welcome to a new listener. He or she has been listening for 3 or 4 weeks now. It's crypto_2dgame. Well, there's a mouthful. But they chirp in occasionally, and they love the show. They're new listeners.
Cool.
And they said that I needed to feed you with my bone broth. Did you see that? You didn't answer on Twitter. You didn't see it, did you?
I didn't see it.
So you know I make a bone broth every
I know you make a bone broth, yeah.
For my immune system.
Yeah.
So I've got these organic beef bones.
You know, you've heard of Jack and the Beanstalk, right? And the giant, and the bone broth. That's her.
Jack and the Beanstalk and the bone broth?
Yeah.
Does the giant have bone broth?
Yeah.
Does he?
That's what the whole story was about.
That's a long time since my mummy read it to me.
Grind your bones to make my bread.
Oh, yeah. So is a cannibal, is he?
No.
Ooh, I'll have to revisit that.
What does bone broth taste like?
Delicious. So, Chris, I get an organic veg box every week, have done for 25 years.
You're going to regret having asked this, Chris.
I used to do their PR.
You need to learn a lesson here.
But before I did their PR, I got their veg box. And the lady that was delivering it, it's Riverford, the lady that was delivering it said, what do? You're always at your desk. And I said, I do PR. I said, oh, we need PR. A long story short. So I get a veg box, all organic, and then I get grass-fed organic beef bones, because I don't want to boil bones that are, not the cow hasn't seen the
crop. He only asks what it tastes like.
Anyway, so I boil the in a slow cooker, pop them in a slow cooker, 24 hours, and you get all the collagen out, and then I have it like that, take a little bit to my mum, Ruth, who's 93, drive it in the car, wobbling about, And it looks, it's how chefs make stock. So a proper chef in a good kitchen, like a hotel that does decent food, would always have a stock on the go, a beef stock or a chicken carcass is the other one I use. So I alternate. And then to that, I just add garlic, onions, maybe a bit of turmeric root, maybe a bit of ginger because the new husband had a bit of a cold. And then it's like a French onion soup. You ever had a really good French onion soup?
Yep.
And put a dob of cheese on the top to melt. I don't eat bread, but my husband has a crust bread.
This is just a snack while she's waiting for lunch to
come. But bone broth
is selling it to me, though, Jules.
It's probably the best thing for your gut health. And people, I've been talking about this for ages. I've been doing it for years. And then you make any soup out of it because it's your stock. So you don't use a stock cube. That is your stock. Gravy, that is your stock. And people are spending £30 a month buying it on Amazon. When it, I don't even do anything. I put it in a slow cooker and go off to Business Bunker Radio. And when I get home, it's done. So,
oh, good.
You can add some cider vinegar if you want as well. That's also a good tip. But I don't because Darcy Greyhound has some and they shouldn't have vinegar too much.
So if you're doing it in a shot, that's, yeah, that's meant to be good for,
yeah,
you as well.
Yeah. How much do you pay for a bone broth shot or do you?
I don't know.
Okay. Because you know you can get bone broth shots and they're quite expensive. But as I said, 30 quid a month people are paying, and I've told them what to do.
Well, you ought to turn it into a business then, didn't you?
Yeah, I see.
Yeah, Chris, I can see you tonight with your pot.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Give me a chat and I'll talk you through, but it's so easy. Mm. And you, the goodness out of it, the goodness, oh, it is amazing.
Battery Gardens have been on.
Anyway, they told me to give you some bone broth. That was the crypto thingy bob that I just said, but you didn't see it, which just shows that my tweets are being... What's
suppressed.
It
doesn't surprise me. They're probably as bored with you as I am. She's going on again. Turn her off.
2G Mania Crypto, I don't know if it's male or female. They have to tell me, fess up, but they say, LOL, I heard you. Bone broth is meant to be super healthy. Yes, it is.
Right, good. Changing the subject completely.
From bone broth.
Battery Garden Machinery been on with a little tip that they've come across. If anyone is finding they have to type their payment card details in full each time they buy something, then you have to go into your settings because Microsoft did an update in January 24 that has turned it all off.
Oh, no.
Not good for efficiency.
Yeah.
We're going to be hearing about efficiency of cleaning, aren't we?
Later. We will in a bit, yeah.
Yeah,
we're going to talk to Hannah and Chris.
Yeah.
But just so you know, that's why you have to go back into whatever browser you're using, Chrome, Firefox, whatever. You have to go back into your browser and turn it back on again because Microsoft kindly turned it off for you. Wayne Cullington's been on.
Oh, what's he saying?
He said, I'm guessing there'll be no food on offer. Oh, Wayne, that is so funny. We haven't stopped talking about bone broth yet.
Why is he guessing there's no food? Oh, because cleaning companies.
Yeah, yeah. I'm guessing there'll be no food on offer today then, but no doubt it will be a thoroughly enjoyable show still.
Well, you know, I've brought biscuits to the table, but I'm on a 90-day detox for the AstraZeneca injury, so I cannot have sugar.
Okay.
Not even a tomato at the moment.
Not even in your coffee.
Not even in my coffee, no.
The Construction Expo people have been on. The Southeast Construction Expo 2024 is taking place on Wednesday the 1st of May. And it is at the Jockey Club, Sandown Park.
Oh, I do love a jockey.
Mm.
Is that Sandown Park?
Yeah, that's what I said.
Yeah, that's near, is that near Esher Way, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, because I go past that when I see my homeopath, Mohammed. Yeah.
Yeah.
And they've always got good things on. I'm just scrolling. So Wayne Cunnington, yeah, no food, I'm afraid. I'm on a 90-day detox. I'm on week two.
Nearly there.
Yeah, two and a half months
to go. Hold on. What are you detoxing?
AstraZeneca. I'm trying to clear out my gut a bit more.
Yeah, but what have you given up?
Oh, everything.
You haven't given up alcohol?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, I haven't had a drink for 2.5 weeks.
Good God, the wine industry is going to go bust.
But the worst thing is, you know, I'm not having any grains, which is okay because I've done that for years anyway for thyroid. But the worst thing is things like I'll make something for my new husband and he can eat anything. Mm. You know, so this morning I had steak and eggs for breakfast.
Mm.
Great. I'm practically carnivore at the moment. And he had tomatoes and I just thought, I really want a tomato, but it's a lot of sugar.
Mm.
So that feeds all the bad gut bacteria.
Okay.
So new husband has, and he's got chocolate fudge cakes and things that I buy for him Isn't that sweet of me?
Steak for breakfast. I'm going to be the next new husband, I think.
Yeah, yeah, you, yeah. You're welcome. I'm working my way through. And you could help me clean.
Yes.
That would be a marriage made in heaven. Gavin, if you're listening, Gavin is not good. My new husband is not good around the house. He's very good at what he does for a living. Very hard worker. He'll do anything in the garden. He won't do anything in the house.
No cleaning.
Oh, he's terrible. He won't even change a light bulb or anything. He's terrible in the house. He'll always be outside if he can.
Martin Reeves, collector's buddy.
And the Vandellas.
He said, I'd love a Business Bunker shout-out, please. I'm listening live. So, Martin, consider yourself shouted out. Martin Reeves, collector's buddy.
Have we read out IQ Property Services?
Nope.
Our MD, Tony Cheeseman, was invited back to the Business Bunker show last week. Hear him talk about bat boxes, outside lighting restrictions, and the passive house. Yeah, you have to say passive house because it's German or Norwegian. Intrigued? He's here with multi-entrepreneur Vanilla Webb and BBC Radio's Jules Serkin, and they've put a very... So they're talking about last week's show. They've put a very snazzy gif or photo or whatever of me and Tony Cheeseman and you and Tony Cheeseman. And he bought chocolates for me, which I ate on my 90-day detox.
Without offering one to anyone. Exactly.
But they were bougie, so I figure...
You figure what? You figure none of us...
Bougie, have no dairy, no this, no that.
So the rest of us can't eat it?
Well, I took them home.
I know you did.
I put them straight in my handbag.
I know you did. Yeah.
Well, we all had some in the studio, didn't we? That was from a loco. Yeah, but you're on a regime, aren't you? You're on one of your diets, aren't you? Or are you off?
How would you know?
Amanda, are you listening?
I never get anywhere near anything in this studio.
Well, we did pass those round. If you were a bit slow, Sarah Marsh Collins is listening. Mm. You can find her on the Twitter, S Marsh Collins. She's also a dog lover, so she might come to Sighthounds Greyfest in August. She says, I'll be there as soon as I can. However, I'm in a queue with HMRC. Oh, that's going to take days.
Oh, you're going to be there all day, Sarah.
You'll miss August then.
Yeah, absolutely.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I have to get this right. It's quite a long Twitter, this crypto_2D game. I think you should shorten your Twitter. It says, I'm male, by the way. I don't like my photo out on my main profile. Don't want to always see my ugly mug when posting. But he's very handsome. Just put his thing on. Very handsome. I'd give that a 10 out of 10. What do you think?
Oh, definitely an 11 for me.
Oh, yeah.
10.
Yeah.
Is that another husband?
No. Don't know him. Never met him. But he's interested in my bone broth. Mm. So there you go.
Recipe coming his way.
Yeah. But it's not even a recipe, is it? I can't understand why people can't get their head round it. It's so simple.
Well, most people don't cook anymore, do they?
Uber Eats.
What? Yeah. Uber Eats.
Just Eat.
Yeah, maybe I should start a bone broth delivery service.
Absolutely.
£30 a month.
Yeah.
If anyone's listening and wants to help me, I need a little Polish person or a Romanian person.
You could deliver...
Or a Filipino.
You could deliver it by drone, couldn't you? You can have the bone drone.
By drone?
The drone. Bone drone.
Oh, I see what you did there. Yeah.
You did, except, as usual, you talked over the punchline.
Oh, well, I didn't understand. I didn't think
you were being funny.
Well,
it was because you never shut up.
You didn't have your funny face on.
Oh, dear.
And battery experts... machinery. He's just found out he's diabetic. Did you see?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, and he didn't know. And he went into hospital about something else. And they said, what diabetes medicines are you taking? And there was a silence. I think that was him.
You sure?
I think it was. Yesterday I saw it. I've got a lot of scrolling to do. Go on. Carry on.
Carry on what? You were waffling and you stopped talking.
Well, I can't.
Because you made up a story
here we
and
are.
Now you can't find it.
Yeah, here we are. Look, battery garden machinery.
Yeah.
I've just ordered a NICGM, that's a monitor for blood thing, Bluetooth smartwatch. I'll tell you how it goes. See, I wouldn't want you to wear a Bluetooth watch all the time on your body because of the 5G. So I'll just show you. I have this to protect me from... electromagnetic forces.
Oh, blimey.
And he says, I follow a complete keto diet, apart from a few chickpeas. I don't have chickpeas. That's probably how I got to 50-something without being discovered that he was diabetic. So in a way, he was controlling his diabetes by his keto diet. Both my parents were diabetic, so I just carried on eating what they eat. Mm. Okay. So I put him in touch with Christine Bickley, who's my nutritionist, and she's brilliant. So if you ever need anyone, she can do a Zoom with you wherever you are.
Hey, guess what?
Time for cheesy tunage.
It is cheesy tunage.
Is it to do with cleaning?
Time. No. Yes, maybe.
Go on. Oh, well, you could have, what's that? Broom one trailer, broom to rent, 50
it's
cents.
It's room to rent, not broom to rent, you great idiot.
Yeah, but it could be. Yeah, but he does sweep in that.
Yeah.
I just made that up.
Yeah, I know you did.
What else could you have?
I've got this one.
When I'm cleaning windows.
Yeah, I've got this one.
We might not approve.
I've got this cheesy tunage, which you will never get in a million years.
Oh, the clean-up, the clean-up woman.
It's
the
clean-up woman.
Yeah. Who's it
clean
by?
Clean-up woman.
I love this song. Who's it by? Funky.
Betty Wright.
Betty Wright, yeah, the clean-up woman. I got it in one.
You did.
Yeah,
well done.
You said I'd never get it.
Yeah.
A clean-up woman is a woman who gets all the love we girls leave behind. The reason I know so much about her is because she picked up a man of mine. Jumping slick was my ruin, 'cause I found out all I was doing was making it easy for the cleanup woman to get my best love. Oh yeah, just making it easy for the clean-up woman to get my baby's love, uh-huh.
Betty Wright there, clean up woman. See what I did
soul.
There?
Yeah, I love a bit of soul.
And we're going to talk to our first guest.
We are, and I'll be videoing. So if you're on the Twitter, you will see a live video. It's Hannah first, I believe.
Hannah is first. It's a pleasure to welcome onto the Business Bunker Show.
Hello, thanks
Hannah,
for having me.
Hannah Tilly from Chartway Janitorial.
Yep, that's me.
Hannah, welcome to the show.
Thank you
for joining us. Why don't you kick off by telling us a little bit about Hannah first?
Oh, what do you want to know?
Oh,
where'd you start?
Yeah.
Well, how did you get into your cleaning business and what do you do in your cleaning business?
So I got bought into the business from my parents, actually.
So your mum and dad?
Mum and dad started the business over 20 years ago.
Wow. So you grew up with them doing this?
Yeah. So dad had a franchise originally.
Mm.
And then they set up Chartway. And they were going to sell the business over, 25 years ago, I think, about. And I just always thought that was quite sad.
Right.
I was in events before, so having a great time. Dad approached me and said, how would I feel about joining the business?
Right.
And you were three at the time.
Yeah, I wasn't born. I did. And I thought, okay, we'll give this a shot, see what happens, see if I like it. And here I still am.
So did you start working in a business while your parents were still running it?
Yes.
And kind of learn the ropes?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So you used to go on your tricycle, get a little mop out and...
Get a mop out, yeah. I used to go in the van, mainly with mum or dad or one of the drivers, when we was tiny, me and my brother. My brother's in the business as well.
Right.
Yeah.
And then, presumably, gradually, you took over the running of the business.
Yeah, after a few years... I always knew they'd want to retire.
Mm-hmm.
They moved to France and kind of, again, we had the conversation about, are you still enjoying it? What do you want to do long term? And I was enjoying it. Ah. And I thought, actually, yeah, let's just go for it.
Okay.
I didn't want them to sell. Again, it wasn't an industry that I was, you know, wasn't an industry that I thought I'd be in. I thought I'd still be doing my events.
There's something that happens an awful lot, yeah, and... It's one of the things that drives me a little bit bonkers. I do a lot of events in schools and colleges and universities talking about the world of work and careers. And we seem to have got it into our heads, I'm not having to go about this, but that we have to have some kind of sexy business that we want to be in, or some kind of zeitgeist business, you know. So, you know, if you talk to young people now, they want to be YouTube influencers or whatever. Yeah. But most of us in the world of work didn't actually sit down and go, do you know what? I want to be a sewerage engineer, or I want to be, you know.
And if you do, fair play. Like, to know that's what you want to do from day one.
But we kind of end up by one route or another falling into a job that we become very good at, and you develop a passion for it because you become good at it, I think.
Yeah.
And you know, it becomes synonymous with what you do.
Yeah.
Yeah. So let's just kind of move forward and make sure that we're singing from the same hymn sheet, because she keeps talking about cleaning, but you're a janitorial supplies company.
Bit different to Chris.
It's a nice synergy though on the show. I like it when we have synergy.
We supply the products where Chris does. Well, you don't actually do the cleaning, but
so yeah. Do you know each other?
Yes, yeah, so I met Chris on his podcast.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
Chris has the podcast. Give us a shout.
Yep. So we do the Cleaning Up Business podcast, which is predominantly based in the cleaning industry, but the application for the, you know, the business methodology and the tips that come along with that, you know, that reaches far and wide. You know, marketing's marketing at the end of the day.
Absolutely.
So Hannah was a guest on that, and that's how we met. And obviously there's synergies between both of our industry, you know, contract cleaning, janitorial supplies, they go hand in hand.
Absolutely. So tell us, for the listeners that don't understand, what janitorial supplies is all about.
It's a funny old word, isn't it?
Mm.
So basically we supply all the cleaning and hygiene products, mainly to end user. So to care homes, hospitals, schools. So things like sacks, gloves, cleaning materials, mops, cloths.
Oh, it's my idea of heaven. I love all that gear.
She can't use any of it.
No, I can.
She walks around with a penny and some marigolds and loads of dusters.
I love it.
And pretends she's busy. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's very hard to get a duster now, a proper old fashioned yellow thick duster.
Jules?
Oh.
Got something for you.
Have you?
Yeah.
It's so hard to find a good old-fashioned duster.
Why are you doing that to me, Hannah? I haven't bought anything, and I feel unprepared now.
Yeah, but you can always come back.
Yes, true.
She's rummaging now. She's rummaging.
Here we go.
Oh, I love
a duster.
A microfiber.
And it's thick, and it's the right colour.
You can reuse.
That's the thing.
Reuse. Yeah.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
I will be videoing it and sending you a picture of my amazing cleaning.
Keep me updated.
Yeah. So you're supplying to schools, hospitals?
Hospitals, care homes, basically anyone that needs cleaning and hygiene products.
Yeah. But kind of in bulk rather than just one duster and a bottle of Vim or whatever. Yeah.
Vim. Yeah. You're showing
me. Remember Vim?
Yeah.
Is that Vimto? No.
So how careful do you have to be, for example, when you're supplying a hospital?
So with chemicals, obviously, everything comes with COSH certificates, COSH training. And I think, again, being an SME, you feel that you should know about everything.
Mm.
And because we probably stock over 4,000 products, we can't be an expert in everything.
Yeah.
So it's about kind of being a collective, using your manufacturers. They've got the chemists, especially with the chemicals.
Yeah.
So we use those guys a lot for their knowledge.
Mm.
I think that's important as well, that you don't have to know everything. As long as you've got the armory and the people behind you,
I think that is a very, very apposite comment, yeah, because so many people, not just business owners, but you even find it in managers in large corporates, seem to believe that because they're the manager, they should know everything, and they kind of try and blag it, if you see what I mean, you know, by going, oh, yeah. There is nothing wrong in this world in saying, I don't know, I'll find out. There's nothing wrong with that at all. And I'd much rather someone say to me, I don't know, I'll find out from someone that does know, rather than try and blag me that they do know and give me the wrong information. So I totally get that. But as you kind of intimated without saying, there's so many regulations now that as small businesses, you know, we have to keep on top of that you couldn't possibly know everything anyway, even if you wanted to.
I found during the COVID awful times that we had, a friend of mine was running a food business. And, of course, the council went in with these, you know, strong soaps that they were supposed to use, washing their hands every time they prepped. And this poor girl, the chef, her hands, she came to me, her hands were absolutely ruined. And you can't always wear gloves as a chef. So I was getting her all these calendula creams and natural creams. In the end, she had to leave the job because of the soaps. So I think people have to be so aware now of the chemicals. And like they are pharmaceutical products, aren't they, in industrial cleaning.
And exactly that. They're so much tougher than what you'd use at home. Because they are going to industry. So as you said, in a kitchen, you want to remove that grease straight away. You haven't always got the time. So, yeah, the chemicals that are in them are going to be harsher. But again, it's being educated on how to use them correctly. That's where, again, we use manufacturers. They go in and do the cross-training. It's just, again, about using the people around us.
Where
are your chemicals made, Hannah? Are they English?
In Oxford.
Wow.
Banbury in Oxford. So, yeah, we use a company called Cleanol.
Great.
Used them for years. They're family run. Great.
So I want to talk about how your business works now as well, because as life unfolds and technology comes along, there's all kinds of new ways of doing things. So for you, as a janitorial business, presumably you have either a catalogue or a website or both that lists all the products that you sell?
Funny enough, we don't, no.
Okay.
We don't have an e-commerce website at all.
Right.
Just thinking about it now.
No, because we get asked that a lot.
Right.
And we was going to go in that direction. But for us, maybe long term, it's different. Maybe we will. But for us, it's building that relationship with our customer.
Okay.
And what we didn't want to happen is they just order online.
Right.
And then they don't get that acknowledgement from us.
Yep, I get that. How do they know what to order, though?
We set them up. We go out. I mean, from the beginning, we go out to the potential customer.
Right.
We find out what they're looking for. What
so do you
need.
Visit them in person?
Yeah.
Oh, brilliant.
Okay.
Real hands-on. I love that.
So you have a relationship-based business.
Absolutely.
Do you cold call first in the first instance?
Yeah, or email, or if someone's contacted us or they've seen a van, or through word of mouth mainly. We get a lot of word of mouth.
Mm-hmm.
But we always go out and visit. It's important to understand.
So you would visit
site.
A potential client and go, what is it you're trying to do? What do you want to do?
Yeah.
These are the products we recommend.
Yeah.
And then you build a product schedule, presumably.
Because actually what our products do is secondary. I mean, we're about building the relationship, and making them trust us and what we can offer.
Right. I love that. That's real old-fashioned customer service.
And it does work. It might not work for everyone, but it does work for us.
It absolutely does work, and we're missing that in a huge amount of our businesses now, where everybody has gone the other way with technology to the point where the technology's... I've got 50 years' experience in technology, and I just think that most technology implementations now are anti-productivity. I waste more time fixing technical problems with things I'm trying to do than if I'd have just done it with pencil and paper. No reply emails that talk garbage, chatbots that can't answer a straightforward question. It just drives you bonkers.
Don't get me wrong, there's times where customers will just drop you an email because it's easier.
Of course,
but most of the time I like to go out and see them, make sure they're okay, because then they might not always be aware of a problem, But once you walk in there, you can look at something and solve it pretty much there and then.
But that's the point. That's why I said what you've got is a relationship business, because it comes down to some way or another you talking to them about a problem. Whether you do that face-to-face on the telephone or via an email is fairly immaterial.
Yeah.
It's the fact that the customer is saying, Hannah, we've got these, I don't know, five kitchens that we need to clean, and we fry a lot of food, and there's lots of grease flying around. What do you recommend? And you go, you need some, you know, nitroglycerin or whatever it is that you use to recommend it, and you'd need, you know, 10 litres of that a month or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's just understanding what our customer needs as well and understand how they work. Mm. And it works well.
Right. Well, it must have, because you've been in business quite a long time, haven't you?
And it's growing, which is great.
Yeah.
I think we've had this chat before, Chris, about where you're expected to be as a business and where are you going next.
Mm.
And we had this chat recently that actually sometimes it's fine just to be happy where you are now and look at what you're doing now.
I have no problem with that at all. The only thing you have to watch there is that you don't accidentally go backwards. And I'm not a believer in growth for the sake of growth. Yeah. There can come a point where you've consolidated your business and it works very well. What you have to look out for, though, is all of a sudden the costs go up in some way, or a product's removed from sale for some reason, and that has a dramatic, you know. So you've always got to keep on top of the business. You can't just totally relax.
And find new products.
Absolutely.
And I think allergies are a big thing now. You know, a lot of people are getting allergies. There's a huge histamine need at the moment. So how do you cope with things like allergies in the workplace? Do you have...
The main one we come up against is in schools, actually, with asthma.
Yeah.
So, obviously, we wouldn't want to put anything harsh in, so air fresheners and things like that.
Oh, they're lethal, aren't they?
Yeah, absolutely.
I hate the things.
So, we work with another company that do kind of cleaning of the air, things like that. There's so many brand new products on the market anyway. But just being mindful that they don't need to use loads of different products.
Yeah.
Right.
As well.
Because then you get a whole concoction and they all can work together, can't they?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Those air fresheners. If I go into somebody's house and there's one, I immediately get a dry throat or a sore throat. It's kind of odd. Just open a window. But I suppose in schools you've got to be a lot more careful. You can't always open windows and things.
And I think, you know, Chris would probably tell you that it's back to... If a room smells good, then someone thinks it's been cleaned.
Yeah, it's a perception of that, isn't there?
Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah.
I think you alluded to it, Jules, and it goes back to what Hannah was saying about being a people business. I think people are regressing from tech.
They are.
You know, people want that interaction now, don't they?
They're sick and tired of being told computers say no. I had a brilliant one with my bank. I rang a bank. I'm not with them anymore because I took my account away. I rang a bank to talk to them, and they went through there. We just need to do some checks. And the first couple of checks went okay, and then they said date of birth. So I told them, and they went, sorry, we can't talk to you. Oh, pardon? Well, you failed the checks. You're telling me I don't know my date of birth? Yes. Well, I was there. And my mum's with me, and she was there too. Would you like a word with her?
Yeah.
You know, so they got the database wrong, but they're going to sit there and insist they're right and I'm wrong. I mean, how bonkers is that? You know, I had to, in order to access my bank account, I had to get a copy of my birth certificate. I had to send a copy of my birth certificate. I had to write an explanatory email about why they had typed it in wrong. You know, and you just go, nah, I'm not dealing with you anymore.
You can't be bothered, can you? Yeah. Puts you off.
It's a big corporate, so they're trying to push you out of actually going in branch, and so they're going the other way.
The branches are closed. Don't get Jules started on this. Her local branch won't even do cash.
No.
Her bank.
My new husband went to get some cash out in Whitstable, our bank, Lloyd's, and he queued outside, and at 9 o'clock they opened the door and he went in and he wanted cash and they said, no, we don't dispense cash.
Well.
But they've now left. They've closed.
Yeah.
And the hole in the wall has closed.
Yeah.
There's no hole in the wall.
Yeah. They don't do cash at all.
Anyone listening needs to keep using cash.
And you get it. Sorry to interrupt all this, but it drives me potty, this. And then you go, I want to withdraw some money. Why?
Yeah, I see that in the bank recently. Yeah, a guy was making a purchase, and literally it was like a police inquisition. You know,
Why do you want the money? Why do you want your money? Because I do. What are you going to spend it on? Mind your own business. Yeah. Well, you can't have it then.
That is terrible, isn't it?
Awful. Scary. We live in scary times. Coming back to Hannah and Chartway Janitorial, so... The range of equipment that you supply, so it's cleaning equipment.
Yeah.
Do you go into more, I don't know what the technical term for it is, but heavy duty equipment, like, you know, hoovers and...
Yeah, we sell hoovers.
Do you sell hemorrhoids?
We do.
Yeah, I like a
great
Henry.
Great product.
Yeah. That seems to be the most popular Hoover with like builders and that. They all have a Henry.
Do you know what? Chris, has, haven't you done your own little thing?
We've done,
we've done a
YouTube video with a pneumatic Henry Hoover, as you would know commercially.
Yeah.
And we tried to destroy it by various different methods. And the pinnacle of that video was actually dropping it off a cherry picker.
Really?
And it survived. Right. Yeah. It worked. So they're good for commercial use,
nice
heavy
and tough.
Use.
Yeah.
They can take a battery in against a door or wall, can't they? That's
I've
the
given
thing.
Up with Dysons. I just spent so long taking them apart on the phone. But I'm fond of a Shark at home.
At home,
we have a Shark hair thingy, Bobby.
I have a Dyson at home and a Henry, and I just stopped using the Dyson. It was pointless.
Mm.
The Henry is such a simple device.
Yeah.
It does what it says on the tin. And, you know, it's rugged, and not expensive either.
British, I know they can
British
be
made,
heavy.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
I know they can be heavy sometimes, depends on when you're carrying them, but, great product.
Yeah, fantastic.
Isn't there a Henrietta as well?
Yeah. Hetty.
Oh, Hetty. Yeah. Spot on, Paul. Yeah. Hetty. Yeah. Pink version. There are George, there's various connotations.
Whole family.
Literally.
Oh, okay.
So you sell products like Henry's and things like that?
Yes, yeah, so all cleaning and hygiene products, but whatever you can think of, we probably...
And even the dusters, yellow dusters
cloths,
and all that.
Wipes.
So do you advise people on, like, your clients on cleaning these and that? I just bung mine in the washing machine.
Absolutely.
But I'm a bit weird. I don't like putting them in...
You can say that again.
I don't like putting them in with clothes. And, you know, because I think they've been dragged around. I don't know where my cleaners
have
had
them. You can put them in like that.
I put them on their own, which I always think is a bit, what's the word, uneco-conscious, because I'm doing a very small load.
Any minute now, she'll tell you about my rat flannel.
Oh, rat flannel. So I did a little party for Paul when he was single. You know, I said, what are you doing for your 60th? Nothing. Aren't you having a few friends? Went, I haven't got any friends. So we all hid in his back passage, and he went out and then came back in his shorts and flip flops, and we all went da da. There's a load of us, and we did a. I think what did we eat? We had Harry, didn't we?
Harry Covert did a paella, a barbecue paella,
And it was very nice. And I had lots of drinks, of course. And I felt responsible for clearing up because it was his party, and I didn't want him clearing up. So I did clear up very neatly, and I found a cloth by this time I'd had three bottles of Cava, and I put the cloth after I'd finished cleaning under his sink. But I'd cleaned a rat table that I got out of his he's got a shed thing, and there were rats in there, and there was rat droppings on this picnic table, and I dragged that out and cleaned it, scrubbed it. But then, because I was a bit tipsy, I put that dirty cloth under his sink, and then at 3 a.m. in the morning I woke up like this, and I texted him and I said, don't use that cloth, it's the rat cloth, I've left it under your sink. I was worried.
What did you use to clean it, Paul?
I cleaned the kitchen with it.
Yeah.
I'd wiped the kitchen down after she'd left with a rat cloth.
But the awful thing was, he's got lovely children, and after I'd cleaned and everything in my drunken stupor, they went and started cooking again. And, you know, what's the thing with kids, isn't it? Like, you've cleaned it all, and then they start again.
Make a mess.
They?
Yep.
And the new husband, when he cooks, he starts on the left of the kitchen like the Swedish chef on the Muppets, and works all the way around the kitchen. And because he's cooked, I have to clear up. That's our thing.
Mm.
And it's not pleasant at all.
Mm. So you supply a wide range of things.
Mm.
Can I ask, do you stock them or do you drop ship?
No, stock. Yeah.
You stock them?
Yeah.
Okay.
So where are you based?
Heckhorn.
Yeah.
Which is near...
It's between Maidstone and Centerton.
Okay.
She's lived in Kent 142 years. She doesn't know where anything is or how to pronounce it.
I'm the same, Jules, to be honest.
I'm not. Do you ever come to Whitstable?
No.
See? Do you know where Tankerton is?
Oh. Yep.
Vaguely.
Yeah.
See? It depends on your area, doesn't it? I don't know this bit very well. I don't know Maidstone very well at all.
My mum lives in Heckhorn.
How's your mum doing?
She's all right. She's in the hospital.
She's in a cottage hospital.
She's in Tunbridge Cottage Hospital at the moment, recuperating.
And are you pleased with the hygiene there?
Yeah.
Good.
I think so.
Yeah, because often...
I haven't walked around testing anything
yet. I would.
The people there are very nice, and she's been in there a few days now.
I do think cottage hospitals are the way forward. I wish they wouldn't keep closing them.
Well, it's only rehabilitation. I mean, there's three or four around Kent.
Mm.
It's a bit of a nuisance, because I live in Tenston, and the biggest cottage hospital in Kent is in Tenston, but they didn't send her there. They sent her to the one in Tunbridge. But anyway.
So you have a little warehouse, do you?
Yeah, we have units filled with all exciting things like toilet roll.
Okay.
And blue roll.
Blue roll.
roll. I love a blue roll.
In Headcorn.
In Headcorn.
And your team. Tell us about your team.
Hold on. Will you let me get a word out? She's
dying to know about your team.
Yeah, in a minute.
Oh, you've got a script,
I
have
think
you?
No, got a question about a toilet roll.
No. I'm still trying to find out.
He's excited about toilet roll.
I'm trying to find out where her warehouse is in
Headcorn. That's what I've just asked her. Now, how many in her team?
It's got nothing to do with where.
Do you want the exact address?
Yes. Okay. That's what I'm looking for.
Go on, Hannah. Are you on address?
Oh, my home address.
It is public.
Have you quite finished yakking now?
Come on, then.
Are you on the big estate next to Big Print or?
No, so we are on the top of the hill next to the Weald of Kent at Great Tong Farm.
All right, okay. So yep.
Is that a real farm?
It is a real farm.
Great Tong.
Great Tong Farm.
T-O-N-G with an E?
Nope.
Tong Farm. What do they farm? Do you know?
Tongs.
Apples.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Was a lot of apples, into.
Because I'm reading there's a lot of Kentish farmers having to give up.
So you have a warehouse, an industrial unit.
Yeah. Okay, and your team.
Are you based there as well?
Yep. Office there, units there.
Okay.
Everything.
Cool.
And a team.
And a team.
Do you want to give them a shout?
Hello.
Team.
Team.
Oh, how many have you got?
So six. And so we're not massive.
Do you have, well, that's a good team. Do you have, for a family business, that's great. Do you have cold callers?
No.
That actually pick up the phone like the old fashioned way?
We have a couple of office staff. So that, again, they just do a bit of everything. So one will do the buy-in, couple in finance. We've got a couple of drivers. And again, we all just get involved.
And you've got liveried vans that we can see going around Kent. Yeah. Lovely. Brilliant.
Cool.
I love a family business.
It sounds really good. So how long has the business been going in total with your mum and dad and you and your brother?
Oh, I think we're about 24 years now.
Right, okay, it's good.
For quite a while. Obviously hard when you're second generation. I feel that there was that, you know, that you don't want to fail them because especially when they've kind of passed it over.
Yeah, yeah.
You then think, actually, no, we need to keep going. Mm. We didn't want to sell, still don't want to sell. Right. We are all happy doing what we're doing.
All right.
Fingers crossed, we just keep going.
And you've got a solid business. And
absolutely.
You're retaining your clients and stuff.
Yeah.
That's good. And, you know, you kind of half alluded to it earlier about it kind of not being glamorous or anything like that. But one of the lovely things about a business like yours is it's a solid business.
Mm-hmm.
It isn't the kind of thing that a lot of people go, do you know what, we're going to go and start a janitorial business just because, you know, it's sexy or, you know, because it's glamorous, because it isn't. It's just what I call a workaday business.
Yeah.
Something that has huge need, delivered well, delivered with care, delivered with good customer service, with reasonable markups on the products that you're selling.
Yeah.
And I think that's a perfect business, I really do. And, you know, a lot of people, when they think about starting businesses or getting involved in businesses, I know a lot of people that are trying to buy businesses at the moment rather than start from scratch, which is always a good idea. And they don't think about basic businesses like that are really solid, have a long life, a shelf life.
That you're always going to need.
Always going to need.
Yeah, it's not seasonal, it's constant.
Yeah.
And again, I think that is with our diverse range of customers. We have to because, you know, some of the hospitality, you know, sectors that we deliver to, they might not be open all year round. So then, and the schools, they obviously close on their half terms and summer holidays, but then they're going to do a deep clean.
Mm.
So, yeah, again, you have to be diverse on what type of customer.
Now, you've all the time we've been talking, you've kind of talked about the kind of institutions that you sell to. But do you also sell to people like Chris? Do you sell to cleaning companies?
Yeah. Don't sell to Chris, though, because he's already got a great supplier, which is good.
He's a cheapskate. He won't buy from you. Is that right?
We have a cleaning supplier on the back of on the estates in Whitstable. I can't remember their name now, but I often nip in there and get some blue roll. Tesco there, and there's a great big John Wilson Estates and stuff, and there's a cleaning place there.
And you buy what there?
Blue roll.
Blue roll?
Blue roll.
What's blue roll?
Bigger than loo roll. Yeah. Big blue stuff, it's great for...
Oh, is it like that?
Spillages.
A paper towel on
a roll, blue centrifuge.
Yeah, but you don't use it as a paper towel. You use it to mop up, dry, and polish. I don't know. What do you use it for? Swiping things. I use it a lot.
Is it paper or that J-cloth type material?
Paper. No, paper, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
Blue roll.
Because I found under our sink the other day something that Amanda had bought, and it was like a roll of J-cloth.
Oh, they're good.
I hadn't seen that before. Yeah.
But I even those you can wash, those thin J cloth you can wash.
Why would you do that?
Just if you mean.
She washes toilet paper.
Yeah. No, I hang it out to dry.
Yeah, she does.
I use, it's different in a house, I use bamboo loo roll, so it's sort of, they plant a tree.
Splinters.
Yeah, but I get it delivered, so, you know.
Brands like the Cheeky Panda and things
Yeah, it's called Bumboo. B-U-M-B-O.
Bumboo. Oh, dear.
Bumboo. But they plant trees and that, so it's kind of nice. Yeah.
Hannah, it's been a pleasure talking to you.
Thank you. Thanks for
staying with us for the rest of the show. If people want to find out more about Chartway Janitorial, what's the best way to do that? Have you got a website?
Yeah, it's www.chartwayjanitorial.co.uk. Or you can email me directly. That's hannah@chartwayjanitorial.co.uk.
Fantastic. Hannah, thank you so much for that.
Thank you.
We wish you continued success with your fantastic business, and we'd like to see you back again sometime when we can talk some more about this.
Yeah, and I was thinking that the studio looks a little bit tidier than, you know, cleaner than usual.
I had a clean up before they came in. I had a dust round, didn't I?
Yeah. I'll get the wipes out in a minute, Chris. We'll have a little mop round.
Yeah.
We're going to talk to Chris in the second half of the show. We've got a few minutes before the mid-show break.
I was just thinking of the word janitor, because it is quite an old-fashioned word, but at school we had a janitor. It was always a school janitor.
It's quite American, isn't it, as well?
Yeah.
But they'd always go around with one of those metal buckets, wouldn't they, and a mop.
In England, we tend to call them caretakers. The school caretaker.
Site managers now.
Yeah, but I'm so old, we did call them janitors at my... I went to a rough comp. But we had a janitor.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's why they're called janitorial suppliers, janitors.
Yeah.
Don't know where the word janitor itself comes from.
They have to have multiple buckets now.
Do that, of course.
For colour code.
Colour coordinated.
Yeah.
I've got that on my mops, but I can never remember, you know. I just say to my lovely boys, please use that in the loo and that in the kitchen, you know. And they come in, they're very organised, they've got it all thing. I just hope and pray that they do. We've had a tweet from Martin Reeves without his Vandellas. He says, thank you for my Bee Bunker shout out. He's aptly used the Bee Bunker hashtag. The show is taking some amusing twists and turns via the infamous Jules intro. How long did I do today, Martin? Can't remember. I think I strung it out. And Tracy Ferguson is saying good luck to Sarah Marsh Collins, because she's still in the queue for HMRC.
Yeah.
And 2G, I can't read out this Twitter, it's so long. 2DGG, Game Mania _ Crypto. He said it's cheered him up because we gave him 11 out of 10 for his picture, didn't we? And he says, it's cheered me up as I rarely get compliments. Thank you. Hopefully others will think the same. Now, we're going to go on a dating thing now, listeners. I'm 45 and I've been single for a while now. I need to get out more and meet someone before my looks completely fade. LOL. There you are. He's on the market.
You're setting up speed dating,
John. Yeah, I think I must.
What you need, my friend, is this radio station, Channel Radio, 7 p.m. Wednesday nights for the dating show.
There you go.
Tracy Ferguson, did you read this? A great Business Bunker conversation with Hannah, she says.
She does. It's nice to have Tracy back listening, because she's been AWOL for a while. I was going to read something, if we've got time, before the news.
Yeah.
The finance director of Southeast law firm, Furley Page, is going to take part in Centrepoint's Sleep Out this February, so that's this month, to raise money to support young homeless people. It's on the 23rd of February of this year. Malcolm Twyman will join around 100 others who will sleep rough on the streets of London for a night to raise money and awareness for Centrepoint. Centrepoint is the UK's leading charity for homeless young people and helping to provide them with somewhere safe to live alongside counselling and advice so they can start to rebuild their lives. Sleep Out is one of Centrepoint's flagship fundraising initiatives, which helps to raise funds to combat homelessness, contributing towards the charity's aim to end youth homelessness by the year 2037. That seems a long way away, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
The challenge involves individuals, groups and organisations who spend a night without their bed to raise money and awareness of rough sleeping and homelessness. So that's the 23rd of February. You can get in touch with Centrepoint, of course, but well done, Malcolm Twyman of Southeast law firm Furley Page for sleeping out rough.
Mm.
You did that once, didn't you? Didn't you do that once?
Yeah, I've done it a couple of times. Mm. Yeah.
But that isn't fun, is it?
It isn't fun. It isn't. I was blooming freezing. The last time I did it was at Maidstone United Football Stadium in the middle of winter.
And we were sleeping on the terraces as well, which was not particularly comfortable. And it was freezing. So eventually most of us were so cold at about 4 a.m, we got up and played football on the pitch, keep warm.
Just to warm up.
Yeah. Yeah. It was good. We raised a lot of money. It was 16 grand we raised or something.
Right. Good course.
Yeah. So what else you got, Jules?
So Martin Reeves says, 20 minutes was my intro. So he's given me a ka-ching, you know, thumbs up. Because I have a little thing about how long I can annoy Paul Andrews for on the intro.
It's really easy.
Yeah. Emergency first aid at work. The location is the City Wall Wine Bar, Rochester High Street.
Jules will be there.
In 2.5 months, I'll be there. This is the most popular first aid qualification. It's the emergency first aid at work. The date is the 26th of February. It's 9 till 3pm. And it's the choice of many employers to ensure they're meeting the requirements of the health and safety first aid regulations, which in 1981 they were set up. And this is the QNUK Level 3 Award in Emergency First Aid at Work. It's ideal for those employers that need to meet the minimum requirement of first aid regulations, typically those working in shops, offices and other low-risk environments. Now, to book, there is an email. It's sarah@additional-info.co.uk. All details on kentbusinessradio.co.uk too. And it's £65 a person. It's at the City Wall Wine Bar, Rochester High Street. That's SatNav ME113, I think that is, T. Well, it might be 1J, T. It's a funny type. It's not my eyes. It's a very funny, wiggly J. 26... Well, February, as I said, and it's 9 to 3pm. Stop sniggering, Paul Andrews.
Yeah, right.
And it's in a wine bar, which is our usual setting for first aid.
For health and safety, you know. Yeah. Open a bottle.
Make
right,
you feel
let's
better.
Let's do some CPR.
Wayne Cullington has tweeted, "It's so nice to hear about a family business continuing through a younger generation." Well, thank you, Wayne. That's very true.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, I love a family business. They always seem to care more, I think, in a strange kind of way. Where do your mum and dad live in France now?
They are Pays de Loire, so quite near Le Mans.
Beautiful.
The racetrack. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Very nice.
My oldest son lives in the Dordogne.
Nice. Yeah.
Networking at Mount Vineyard. This networking event is open to Seven Oaks Chamber members, non-members, local businesses and individuals who would like to join us and network face-to-face around Shoreham Village, including an incline to reach the beautiful Bluebell Woods. So this is networking. It's a network meeting by going for a walk.
Clever
idea.
Yeah.
So we meet at the coffee box at the Mount Vineyard. This network is leisurely. It takes around an hour. We will meet back at the vineyard for a slice of pizza, courtesy of Thackeray Williams Solicitors. It's taking place on February the 23rd, 10:30 till 12. You can find out all about it and find the booking link for it by going to kentbusinessradio.co.uk/calendar.
And if you're employing apprentices on the national minimum wage, the NMW, they call it, rates are even slightly above. Did you know that 1 in 4 apprentices have national minimum wage underpayments, and they involve apprentices, 1 in 4, that is. So they say, we know paying the minimum wage correctly isn't always as straightforward as it looks, and it's easy to make mistakes. So they have celebrating National Apprentice Week, which is 2024. HMRC is offering 2 live webinars covering apprentices and associated minimum wage risks. So you can register to book your place. It's on Wednesday the 7th of April, so that's mañana.
Yep.
1:30 to 2:30, and Thursday the 8th of February, next day, 11 to midday. And the expert advisors will be available to answer your minimum wage questions during these live webinars, because that will change in April, of course.
Yeah, and as they say, it's not as straightforward as people think, yeah? People think, right, as long as I pay X amount per hour, I'm okay. It doesn't work like that, unfortunately, and which is why so many people come unstuck with it, because it depends on how many hours you work as well. Yeah, the HMRC don't care if you paid £10 an hour or £15 an hour. It's how much they earned over the course of working, yeah.
Everything that HMRC do seems to be complicated.
Yeah, it does.
Or long, like your
listener. Yeah. We haven't heard from her. Well, my new husband was on the queue the other day to Vodafone for hours. I mean, just ridiculous. They were very nice, the operators.
Yeah.
But hours. Just ridiculous.
Yeah.
Just talking about our contracts, which we needed to renew.
Yeah. Okay, we're going to have a break, 4 or 5 minutes, and then when we come back, we're going to talk to Chris. What do you reckon?
Oh, yeah, more cleaning.
Looking forward to it.
I love it, sparkling.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.